sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
We choose to write to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Blue Otter. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Blue Otter, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Hi folks, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater, and tonight we have with us Badger Orcharding, Mark the Badger, and we're going to be speaking tonight with Star Knowledge Wisdom Keepers, Amor Luz, and Abel Kostly, and I probably,
I tried
probably
to,
butchered it.
But I can't go in.
Okay, Amor, you're on there with us. Can you hear me?
Hello, this is Amor.
Okay, and we've got Mark on with us here. Hang on just one second. We're just kind of getting organized here. Abel is with us. And, well, good evening, everybody. Sorry about the disorganization. Got to be talking with Star Knowledge Wisdom Keepers, Amor Luz and Abel. Amor is a Philippine Wisdom Keeper, and Abel is an Aztec Wisdom Keeper, following in his dad's footsteps. And how are you two this evening?
Doing very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Where are you located?
Thank you for having us today.
You bet. Where are you located?
We are currently in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And we're right here in the middle of high-tech Silicon Valley. This is
okay.
Where Spirit has brought us to have an assignment to do our spirit work and our light work these days.
Well, we appreciate you. This is the first we've met. Want to put a... give a shout out to Mac Boogaloo. Mac is doing our scheduling of guests. He's doing a fantastic job bringing in folks that that I've never met before, and I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun. Mark, you were able to get Amor. What we usually do is at the beginning of the show, my co-host Mark the Badger would like to do a Mayan birth reading on you. Give you some idea maybe of why you do what you do, or at least it will reaffirm, you know, in your mind, maybe why you do what you do. But we'll turn it over to Badger. Here's Badger.
Well, and, I think this is for the other person, right?
Right, yeah. And I guess you've got Abel's birthday
right now.
Right,
I got
now.
His, but I don't have the other one.
Okay. Please give Mark your birth date.
Well, she can give it during... If she doesn't want to give it over to her, she can give it, you know, during a break or something when you're playing some music or something, maybe.
Okay. While she's thinking about that...
Oh. Sure, that's fine. I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
And
we don't want to put you on the spot. Okay, so we'll do Abel's here first. Abel's was born on a day in the Mayans Oaken call 10 Lamont. And that the 10 has to do with flowing and flowing of things, energy and movement of stuff like that, creativity, especially flowing of creativity. And then the Lamont is a glyph that, interestingly enough, a lot of people call it the star glyph. It looks like a normally drawn kind of like a four-pointed star with three dots on each side in a, you know, square pattern. And those three dots are often said to symbolize the four colors of corn or the four races. And that has to do with seed planting, abundance, and stuff like that. Also, this particular glyph is associated with the planet Venus. And it can also many times be related to people having a connection, especially to the Arcturus star system. Edgar Casey talked about Arcturus. He said something, I believe he said, like, any beings in our galaxy, if they're wanting to learn about love, they would eventually make a trip to Arcturus and visit them and learn some stuff. So his birth kind of has those type of connections to it. Now we're going to do second part of this reading is going to be with a newer Zolkin. It's a larger Zolkin than the Mayan Zolkin calendar. And it has three components, a forward flow of time, a backward flow of time, and where these two time flows come together and meet, a zero point or a unity point. So on the, we'll do the forward flow of time first, the way we normally perceive time as moving. And on it, his birth is connected to a day called 12 Hunapku, or Harmony. And it has to do with harmony, teaching. It has a partnering energy here of peace. Peace, childlikeness, hope, stuff like that. Community and cooperation of community. These things have probably been in his life for a long time, potentially since birth. And the Hunapku glyph is also a green colored glyph. It's one of the new glyphs, and it's a green color, so it would relate to the energy. I would expect he probably feels pretty comfortable sitting on top of a pyramid because of that. Because the Russian scientists said there was torsion energy coming out of the top of those pyramids moving in a certain direction, and it relates to the green part of the frequency spectrum. Now, on the backward flow of time, he has red energy rather than green, and it's about this part of the reading is going to be probably things that have been in more showing up in recent life, say about 1997-98, maybe a little bit after or before, around that time frame, maybe getting stronger. And this is showing things about wakefulness, things about having to do with prophecy, things connecting heaven and earth. You know, like star nations and earth nations. things that have to do with dimensionality, especially dimensionality where it relates to how things form, formation of things, how their patterns of formation, the geometry of it, stuff like that. Its partnering energy here with all this is birth and natural ways of things. This probably relates to the birthing of new world cycles. And it has some overall larger scale energies here that has to do with things of mystical power energy, especially relating to action, radiance of action. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised, if his, when he's doing things like this, you know, his aura is probably really glowing a lot. Yeah. Now, where these two come together is the zero point or unity point. And it is repeating what I just said. It's the same glyph, although slightly different energy. It's still talking about bringing Sky Nation and Earth Nation together, but it's bringing in another aspect here of universal all, connecting things across the universe. And so this is something that, which is his way of bridging the worlds from our world cycle into the next. This is his doorway or bridge or how he really really hits everything, hits the mark, you know, and does everything right. But it also is something that not only helps himself, but it's also aligns with where he can help others the most in doing the same thing. As a partnering energy here of the Chakan serpent energy, things of life force and sacred power, things about birthing is coming up here again. And let me see. Also, it's this particular energy is connecting into another glyph, the Ik glyph. Turns out that this is connection into Blue Otter on Prophecy Keepers, because his birth was 9-8. So this is this part about the universality and bridging Sky Nation and Earth Nation and the universal aspect that is connecting over to spirit energy. That's what has linked into Blue Otter and was established this connection and coming onto the show. Let's see what else I can pop up here real quick. Let's see. It also appears like he has a connection into a specific area down in Guatemala, and at Palenque, one of the famous or notorious Mayan cities. So, and specifically in the connection in here is in the same similar time cycle as Bacal, whose tomb is sitting underneath the Temple of Inscriptions. So that might be something interesting for him, if he doesn't already know about it, to look into and research a little bit. I suspect if he looks at that, he's going to have a fairly interesting impact on him. So that's about it.
I appreciate hearing about that, about Abel, very much, because I have some very strong connections to Kavotan as well. And so some of the things that you brought forward really resonated with me because it gives me a clearer picture as to why Spirit Creator has brought the two of us together in this spiritual partnership that we have. Thank you.
Fantastic. What we'll do is I'll play a short 1 minute thing, and I'll put you in a conference room. I'll put Amor and Mark, sorry, I forgot your last name, in a conference room where you can just talk with yourself, and You're in there right now. And while they're doing that, we'll play a little short message here. Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us, and you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now. And we're back. This time, Mark's going to be talking with Amar.
Okay. So hers in the traditional Mayan day count is a 13 ebb. 13, the number 13 is associated with the transmutation, the realization of things. It also will connect into the base of the pyramid. We talked about his being the top of the pyramid. Well, right, hers is going to be the base and the top. And then the ebb, it has a lot to do with about journeying on a path. Often it's a glyph that relates to healing a lot of times. Maybe has some ability with herbal things. It also is the next. His was the Lamont, and it's the yellow glyph, and Ebb is the next yellow glyph after that. So they both have a kind of a close connection there. And we're going to see that even more when we go to the next part of the reading, because hers and his on the forward and the backward time flows are very similar. We saw that he had the Hunab Ku glyph in his forward time flow. She also does. It's a different day number. Hers is a 13. And then, so it's talking about much of the same things in terms of harmony, creator, Hunab Ku. But it's bringing in a slightly different partnering energy here of will and purpose and discipline of things. So hers is similar, but has a little bit of different side energies here. And those, like I said, have to do with will and purpose of things and also discipline of things. And but in terms of where they deal with creator, especially dealing with the issues of harmony and peace and stuff like that, these two are going to be in pretty much total alignment since birth. On the backward flow, we're seeing the same thing, different day number, but the glyph of a reed glyph, which is the one that's linking Sky Nation to Earth Nation, heaven and earth, and prophecy aspects. Hers is also, from that perspective, in pretty much linkage with his. Where it differs a little bit, remember where I talked about radiant action and stuff like that, and his aura really starting to glow? Well, her number here, day number on this, is connecting into that. So she'll have a large part to do with that. And where it's going to pull in and cause that to happen is she's bringing in aspects here of synchronicity of things, movement and thought, what I call Kaban or the Olin energy. In the Aztec one is Olin, Mayan is Kaban, and then the Kishmaya is Naj. That's the 17th glyph of the system. And so hers is bringing in that. Now where hers, these two come together for her, it's a little bit different than his, because in his it was basically the same energy in the unity zero point where the two time flows come together. Hers is not. Hers is a little bit different. Hers is pulling in energy here. It's another green color energy, the will, the purpose, and discipline that we talked with before on her forward flow. That's showing up here again. But it's bringing in another aspect in parallel with that of power, balance, correct actions of things, doing things the right way, and starting things with intention. So her movement from one world to cycle really has a lot to do with using her focus of intention and power towards balance, correct actions, and her own purpose. And that is going to be what really helps move her from one world cycle to the next, and where she can bring that in to help him. Again, it's another green energy. So she has two of them here. She has the Hunab Ku green energy, and she has this purpose discipline energy that are coming together. And so those are both going to connect to what I said before about him liking to sit at the top of the pyramid. She's going to really like being up there, too. Let me see if I can find out a little bit more.
Might not be too much room up there. This is a flat top.
We can share.
She has a little bit of partnering energy here that's connecting into... on his, we talked about the Shakan serpent energy. It's going to be connecting in that, but it's going to bring in another aspect here that if she's never looked at it, it's connecting into the date, the symbol that occurred on the day that the third secret of Fatima was given over in Portugal. So her... And this is occurring on her unity part of reading where the two time flows together. So what that tells me, she may want to go look at that and look at it a little bit more. And we know now that there are aspects that Antonio Sosi came out with last summer saying that he had got access to Sister Lucia, one of the children seers back in 1917, about this particular secret. And it has talked a lot about pretty massive earth changes, very large. And so I would say she might want to look into that a little bit and read about it, learn a little bit about it. She wants to see if she can contact me a little bit more if she wants to know some more. But that seems to be a possibly important thing. Let me see. Look here a little bit more.
Reminds me of that story Robert Ghostwolf told me before he passed away. I guess the August before he passed, 2005, he had a high blood pressure attack. And anyway, he was sick, and the elders came up and stayed with him for a few days. And he was telling me that they were sitting outside around sunset, and one of them looked at him and said, I told him to get out of California. Why are they still there?
Yeah, people ought to be figuring out, you know, stuff about California here.
Yeah.
That's probably not the best place. Well, we had my wife's from the Philippines, and we had lady that's actually a traditional Catholic nun come and visit us, I don't know, last summer. It was August, late July, August. And she needed a place to stay, so someone called us up and asked if she could stay here, and she did. But she was part Native American. She was black, part Blackfoot. And she said something kind of interesting. She said apparently she was out here in Colorado, and the reason was is she said her group of nuns had gotten a message from Creator, God, that was telling them they needed to move to Colorado.
Uh-huh.
Get to the mountains. So,
you know,
she was... Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, you know, it's funny. I have been stationed here in California. I've attempted to leave California a couple of times, but always brought back. And I asked, why am I being brought back to California? You know, it's to do the work here. There's a lot of work that has to be done here, especially in the Bay Area, right along that. That fault line, the one part of the Pacific Ring of Fire, there's a lot of stabilization that is occurring on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment basis. You know, doing a lot of work with the Star Nation, doing a lot of, interdimensional work and telepathic work with the whales and the dolphins just to nourish these grid lines with the light of Creator constantly. There's so much power that is in this ring of fire, and there's a lot of power that's being generated from this Silicon Valley. You know, the continuation of technology and the continuation of that the focus on the external world of materiality, and still that illusion of bringing the focus, you know, into the internet, where people are seeing the power there, getting into Google, getting into all of these .coms, looking for information there. It's right there in front of them. And, you know, this place is the microcosm, Silicon Valley, of the macro, which is these Akashic fields. And, you know, each one of us has the ability to tap into this Akashic field, into this universal supercomputer, which is the mind of Creator. And, you know, it's interesting that you started off this first half of this program with all of this information about my birth and Abel's birth and, you know, why we're here and what our purpose is. This is what is needed to happen for every school child across the world. Every child born into this world has to know their purpose, has to understand the energies that were brought in, has to understand why they even came into this world, because the illusion, once you drop into this physical body, your soul forgets. Some of these children these days are remembering, but, you know, and that's part of the prophecy. That's what the star councils are bringing in. The star nations are holding the space. Souls that are, you know, part of these star families that have been holding the space for this planet, for all of this illusion, for all of this that's happening, have been holding that space, bringing in the soul. Some of them are remembering, and yet there's, you know, a good percentage of the 7 billion people that are in a forgetful space. So I know I said a lot there. I went from California all the way to, and the point being, a spirit speaks through me right now. The point being is we must spread the word like wildfire to adjust our energies, our calendar systems, to align with the universe, the universal clock, with the galactic clock. We must go back to synchronization with our origins. Otherwise, we stay in this illusion of time. It's that artificial time matrix that, and I could go on and on. I'm just going to take a breath here for a moment. And I'm feeling to pass the baton to Abel, or give you both some time for commentary back.
Outstanding. We appreciate you. And I know the Thunder people agree. Not a very good Thunder, was it? Let's try another one. There we go. There we go. Okay.
Yes, I had a great experience with thunder and lightning a couple of times. Just on a side note, I was doing the one of the concerts in Washington, D.C., and it was about freeing Tibet, actually. And during the concert itself, thunder and lightning came in and struck right in the middle of the concert. It was like that was the message. Free Tibet. And it's very powerful energy. It gets things shaken up, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I actually dropped during that and during that concert. I've had some really interesting experiences with lightning.
Yeah, I would have dropped, too.
Abel, you're quiet.
He's trying to figure us out.
Still processing.
He's thinking, are these guys for real?
And there's so many interesting aspects of what you brought in about his birth and my birth. One, I have a connection to Arcturus. One of the encounters that I've had, you know, with the Star Nation people is with the Arcturian and the Arcturian mothership and the chambers there, the light chambers, the rejuvenation chambers. And one of the messages of, you know, that one of those encounters was the message of unconditional love. It's love without condition. And that is the way in through the eye of the needle, that unconditional love. It has the ability to create those shifts and changes. And the other one is the encounter that I've had with the energy of Bukavu Tusk. Actually, I have to credit, not credit, but also connect Bukavu Tusk and the prophecy that's connected to what that Lord, that Time Lord, had brought in about this time. So having that energy with Abel and gave me some clarity as to why it is we have came together. And the one message that Pakal Votan had passed on to me is to understand the language of creation. What is the language of creation? To understand the geometries and the patterns of creation, the cycles, and all of the rhythms, the natural rhythms of creation. This is all inside each one of us. For each one of us to be able to create the shift that we've been looking for, it has to be ignited from within. The ignition has to start from within, allowing ourselves to step into our power, which is that old Lemurian saying as follows: thank you for stepping into your full power.
Well, that geometry you're looking at, too, is going to connect to what you're talking about with California, all the earthquake lines and stuff. If we look at it, there are two forms of geometry, the icosahedron and the dodecahedron. And a lot of the Earth grid energy is following those two particular geometries. I believe it's the dodecahedron, especially for the fault line patterns. So those geometries are also the natural growth pattern geometries of a planet. In other words, that geometry grows into the pattern which most all life grows in. So that's going to be connecting in what you were saying about before about all the geometries and numbers and stuff with Pakal. And it's going to influence what happens and how things occur with these movements of the planet. And your birth reading had the aspect of the intention and balance as being a key component. Those parts can actually go up and interact with what we call the magnetic fields or the aura fields of the planet. And then reverberate all the way down back to the core. So those, that type of contemplation or something for you would probably be pretty useful and powerful. Maybe help with that, whatever else you're learning.
Well, I do know that it has to do with our understanding of time. Time that we're in right now has a vibration, and that vibration is illusion-based. The illusion is what keeps us in a karmic cycle. If we are able to align ourselves with no time, but the information that is existent in a timeless space, that is the spark that ignites the remembering of what we truly are. We've got to take a look at, if you remember Jose Arguelles, he just dedicated a majority, pretty much his whole life, putting that word out there. We've got to change the calendar system, change the calendar, we change our mind, change the way we look at time, and we will create the changes that we have been wanting. We feel it in our heart. All of this information about sacred geometry, all of the curiosities that people have about, you know, star people, about UFO, all of these sacred sites, everything will reveal itself once we dissolve ourselves out of an artificial timekeeping system. I have a feeling that that's why Abel and I were on tonight together. And I know that Abel has some aspects to share about this, so I'm going to, I have a tendency to talk quite a bit. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to create some space for Abel to bring in some of his knowing about what I'm talking about.
Ho, oh, welcome, Abel.
Oh, thank you. So what was the question?
Oh.
It's not a question.
Well,
we want to hear your
Star Nation connections and your time knowledge wisdom.
Hmm.
Or whatever else
yes.
you want to talk about.
Okay. Yes, so thank you, Blue Otter and Mark, once again, for having us. And just this connection of what is known as, what is being called as calendar systems and calendar ways and star nations and star wisdom, star knowledge, is to put it in such blunt words so we could comprehend it is to give it, make it an understatement. This information is what we carry in our DNA, in our vibrations as we walk, and it was passed down to us from our ancestors and our previous generations. Even if it wasn't verbally or physically given to us, it still walks with us, and these types of tools and methods, ways of observing cycles, measurements of celestial bodies, the micro and the macro, is to better understand what we are from our perspective here in third dimension on planet Earth, what we are and what we exist with. And gentlemen like Mark here was able to correlate these dates and bring out such poetic words and information that is enough to fill your cap with. It's beautiful, and it's a beautiful opportunity to once again to hear this information being shared across the board to all races, all people, and once again the people are now ready to receive this information, and it's apparent. Being able to see what is around us and how we connect to that, and how we can call in the, so those certain energies is there for our benefit in this current era that we are living in. Because previous to that, things were kept secret and it was shared quietly, you know, in private rooms and private sectors, and now the opportunity for the world to be awakened to this understanding. Lately, I've been getting another impression of what it is to be human. When we talk about being human, they talk about, you know, a couple hundred thousand years or so, and how we are created and what we are created from. But there's still a little bit missing. They say we're kind of like half a chromosome missing. And so lately, I've been feeling that piece of chromosome that is missing is that star knowledge, is that star wisdom. And to be a complete human being is to connect you not only with your human being self, your family, but also connect to the earth. And then to realize that connection to the earth is a connection to the cosmos, is a connection to the star nation. And so with these types of wisdom keepers and wisdom knowledge is being passed on and is being shared on this radio show, the blog talk radio show here is an example of that, of awakening our DNA. When we hear the voices speak from the elder, it's a vibration that is brought into our bodies, into our consciousness, that starts to hit those switches that for a long time has been remaining dormant. A lot of people talk about New Age, and this New Age, the term New Age was a phrase that was coined about in the 1800s. And so when people say, oh, you're just a New Ager, but that's a 200-year-old ideology, a 200-year-old consciousness that was birthed 200 years ago, that has been evolving and adapting with changes in technologies. And so to come to that level of New Ager is a good thing, because there's still people that are living in paradigms before the 1800s, before that New Age word was coined. And so for people to start being able to receive this wisdom that is earth knowledge about the star knowledge, you know, star knowledge from the perspective of the earth, it gives us an opportunity. It's also, I feel, a humbling experience to know that we are just so much more than human. What it is to be human, or what we have been told what it is to be human, we've got to humble ourselves to that idea, and then stand in honor to know that there is so much more. Because when we awaken to the star knowledge and this star wisdom, we activate 100% of ourselves. You know, the Occupy movement of, oh, the 1% have this and we're the rest of us are 99%. That was part of the programming to make us say, hey, I'm a 99%. You know, I'm not a complete 100% being. I'm not a 100% human being. I'm only this certain amount. And so we have to step out of those restrictions and step away from those ideologies that prevent us from stepping into our full power as Paul Vo. And so with the wisdom that we share, more Louis than myself, we carry this mission, our responsibility to bring people closer to understanding of themselves, which is so much more than the human perspective that they were given. It's an opportunity to awaken to their full consciousness, the global consciousness, the galactic consciousness, the God consciousness. So these are all opportunities that are being presented to us, and even more so, more people are being allowed to waking up and recognize who they see in the mirror is so much more than what they see in the mirror, and it gives us hope to see that opportunity for change is around us. You know, old paradigms are starting to dissolve, and as we awaken into past what is known as the new age, we are evolved. We are constantly evolving, adapting. We are, you know, earth beings that constantly, every day is a new evolution. Every day is a new revolution around the sun, to the cosmos. And yes, thank you for this opportunity to be present with everybody.
Oh, yes, you're welcome.
My partner is he's very earth. He's very earth. I'm very star, very sky. I know that the two of us together, we're bringing heaven and earth. We're holding that archetype, divine masculine, divine feminine, the archetype of heaven and earth. The star knowledge sacred bundle is something I know you've had Chief Golden Light Eagle on this show. At least I believe you have. I want to bring that in. And that was such a gift to activate that. Actually, the bundle was seeded 52,000 years ago and incorporated into one of the, you know, cycles of cosmic galactic time. That's another story in itself, but I really feel it's important to bring it up to your listeners and to, once again, about understanding those teachings. Those teachings were brought in during for us to support us during our awakening, during a very critical period in our choice, in our decision. The teachings were the 1111, which is the Makawi Chakra, which is also called the symbols, brings in the three guides of the Earth Guide, the Star Nation Guide, and the Ascended Master Guide. And to have those guides and be familiar with that guidance helps the human being who is actually, you know, a multitude of the star essence brought here to Earth. It helps us to remember how to stay strong, how to walk in integrity, and how supported we are in this zone that we're living on, in this planet, in this reality. Then we have the teachings of the 1212, which is the Itomi Wichakti Wichoka, which is the star nation, the eight legs of the spider, how that universal mother blends us and weaves us together and our relationship to the star people. Then we also have what's the Anpa'o Wichakti Wichoka, which is the teachings of the morning star. These days we know it as more commonly as Reiki. But the teaching of the way of the hand, the way to heal, and the suryas from that book really help as well. Then there's the 1313, which is the day-by-day living. And that is the calendar ways. It's aligning what the energies are of the day, what spiritual laws are guiding us. It's something to follow, I would say, with our Gregorian calendar, our logistical calendar. It gives us that basis of our knowing and activates our knowing, you know, what we know in our hearts, in our DNA. And then there's another one, the inner Akasha. And that's my specialty, the Akashic field, the Akashic records, where all time and no time is the place of timelessness exists. So I'm very enthusiastic to be able to, you know, share this bundle, but also that specialty, that focus of that inner Akasha, your responsibility, your relationship with Creator. What is your personal prophecy? What are you here to accomplish? And how important it is to remember that.
Oh. Well, that was a mouthful. We really appreciate it. And I think, let's see. Yeah, we did have Chief Golden Light Eagle on, and I was thinking I had a note about him wanting to come back. No, it was another guest. Anyway, just a passing thought. So, yeah, don't know, you know, how much time you have. I mean, we can wind up now if you'd like, or we can continue for as long as you'd like.
Wow. I wasn't really sure exactly how long we have, but it's a critical time. You know, we're repeating cycles. And we've been doing this walk for a long time, and it's not that. It's just to remind us we've been through Mars, we've been through Maldek, we've been through Galactic Wars, we've decided to take all those karmas, we've decided to take all of that, we've brought it into this zone, this velotropic zone, where it's been isolated in quarantine. We're working it out on Earth. If you look around you, you're going to see all the different layers of time that's coexisting in this matrix, this goddess of Earth, we call her Sophia. She holds this consciousness. She has the ability. She has all of this power of the universal feminine, of the mother energy. She's phenomenal, and yet we cannot ignore her. We do. I mean, there's so much I could talk about. There's a lot for people to really have to wake up to. It's time that it's not just in the hands of the prophecy keepers. You know, the prophecy keepers, the indigenous elders, the wisdom keepers, we are just pounding the pavement. We're constantly putting that message out. And it's important. It's important. It's important. We've been doing this generation after generation to be able to remind the people to maintain this hybrid species of a variety of, you know, manipulations of different types of other ET collaboration, what created this container we call the physical body. I mean, there's so much for us to know. We cannot stay sleeping. That's my message. You know, that we are not to stay asleep to this, and it's not just our population of people who are awake, who are carrying this wisdom, but it's for us to talk about, you know, to the general population, to be able to get this word out, because in a specific cycle, we are running out of time. We're getting to that point where we're repeating behavior patterns. We are in this place where we have started sustainability. We started to demonstrate against fracking. We started to do a whole lot of things. We're creating, you know, eco-friendly environments. There's a whole lot of that out there, but it still needs to be worldwide. Mother Earth is going to start to show us where we're not paying attention. There's a lot of ignorance that's happening worldwide based upon the people who know they have the power to speak up against all of these illusions and all of these lies, and it is time to do it. Not just think about it, not just say, hey, that's unfair, but to actually do it, and do it in the local community. Because when we do it in our local community, that locality, that individuality, that change that we're making for ourselves, that action we're taking for ourselves is going to affect the local community. The local community, even if it's a group of 2 to 5 people, when 2 or more are gathered, it's gonna make a difference. It's going to expand globally. It's going to get into the geometries of the planet. It's going to activate the internal Merkabas of each person. It's going to join and merge with the physical Merkaba and the matrix of this planet Earth. So there's a lot for us to learn, and we are running out of time in regards to that. I choose not to see us repeat the mistakes of Atlantean cycles and Lemurian cycles and other cycles of destruction, where we're wondering what happened to those people, where are those civilizations? Why are they buried under the sea? Are they buried under the sea? Oh, it's because Mother Earth had to say, no more. Thank you very much. I'm done. So in that essence, with the Gregorian calendar, we continue to follow that. We're running out of time. If we're going into galactic synchronization and we start to follow these different teachings that are so important, the ancient teachings, the wisdom teachings. It's important to merge them together. We expand into timelessness, and we create. We create in a place of love. And this is what our goal is, even though we've been repeating these cycles in different types of events for millions of years, billions of years. It's been a while. It's a breath in Creator's breath, but at the same time, we have that. We're looking at it right now, and I'm so thankful that you're doing this show, and I'm very thankful that you gave us an opportunity to be able to speak this mouthful and pass it on. I opened my Akashic Records before I came on, and I asked the Lords and the Masters of the Akashic Field, what is it that is pertinent to be shared on this show today? And this is what flowed through. So thank you very much.
Well, we really appreciate you. And listen, you know, there's, if you need to go, we can go. This is Super Bowl night, and there are people that, including yourselves, might want to watch it. So it's up to you how long you stay on the show.
Well, thank you. Do you have any questions? You know, I've done a lot of, I've appreciated the space to share the message. Do you have any questions?
Well, yeah, you know, you might ask if the listeners have any questions. If you're listening live and would like to ask a question of our guests, you can call 347-996-3318, or you can click on the Skype symbol right next to the phone number on the browser that you're listening to the show with. Mark, have you got any questions?
Well, given their birth readings and how those were fairly close or similar, it might be interesting to find out just exactly how they got together. How did they meet and get together?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's your version, Abel?
Well, I was in Mexico City during the time. We just got back from,
The Star Knowledge.
No, it was before the Star Knowledge. There was a Star Knowledge family reunion in 2010 at the Four Corners in New Mexico.
That's where we met.
And I was in Mexico with my father at the time at a computer station, and it was like 2 weeks, 3 weeks before the Star Knowledge Conference. We just got back from Brazil, and we were trying to figure out our next steps. And he said he's going through his email, and he said, "I just got this invitation from this chief. And he wants us to come over." He says this kahuna told him, Chief Golden Light Eagle, about our work and what we do. And kind of looked at each other and was like, what's this all about? And it's like, you know, we thought about it, and there's still time to think about it a couple of weeks ahead before we got back to the States. And so, you know, we decided to go, long story short. We showed up there at the Four Corners, the Star Family Reunion. Mm-hmm. And we showed up there, and towards the evening, our paths crossed. The Morlus and myself, our paths crossed, but we didn't, you know, say hi or connect just yet until the next day. When we came together, our paths finally crossed into a certain conference room that was temporarily being occupied, that was intended for my father and I to do our workshop in. And we got to meet Amor Luz right there in that moment, because she was occupying our space. And so, yes, she introduced herself to us, and that's how we met at the Star Family reunion at the Four Corners.
And just while all of that was happening for Abel, before he came to the Four Corners, I was in Guatemala. And I was at a retreat there with Yash Tata Eric Gonzalez. And I was there on Lake Atitlan and spent almost 2 weeks, maybe 10 days, 2 weeks there. And I just came back from that trip in Guatemala. I'm doing ceremony there with Tata Eric. And I get this call from Judith Moore and her husband at the time, Randy Hansen, and said that there was a kahuna by the name of Reynolds coming, Yo'uki. I'm so sorry, Reynolds, for not pronouncing your name correctly. But and he was calling together the star family to meet at the Four Corners. The Chief Golden Light Eagle was going to supporting that. And so Judith said for me to call Chief Golden Light Eagle and introduce myself to him and because I had to be a part of that star family reunion. And so I called Reynolds, the Hawaiian kahuna, and I called Chief Golden Light Eagle, and it all came together, and I came to meet my star family, truly. I came to meet Lakota family that has been, a soul family, a spiritual family for quite a while, come to understand my connections with this star knowledge sacred bundle, and I also ended up coming to meet my spiritual partner, who is a generation and a half difference with me. And so I have come to trust that the energies of our union and our work together and the partnership we've shared together has a purpose besides the usual purpose of, hey, I like you. You like me too. Yeah, let's get together. But there's been quite a bit of ceremony, quite a bit of traveling, quite a bit of teaching and learning about each other, but also learning about this bundle that we both carry and the spiritual teachings that we're to share with other people. And anyway, the other part of what brought us together was the Zenith Passage of the Sun after the Star Knowledge Conference in 2010 in July. We did end up going to the Zenith Passage from July 25th to July 30th, and Abel and I spent some time with other people, with his father, Miss Austin, and others joining in at the different temple sites, from Teotihuacan to the Zocalo in Mexico City to Malinalco to Tepoztlan and Xochicalco. So those ceremonies, all on top of pyramids, or at least in the vicinity or the base of pyramids, strengthened our connection and our familiarity. It opened the doorway to our past lives. It opened the doorway of our soul to come together. Those ceremonies opened the doorways of what our purpose during this time. And we've been together every day ever since. So it's been about, it's going on 5 years now.
Oh, well, and we're really happy for you. We're really happy for you. Well, we appreciate you. Appreciate you coming on the show. And if you're done, like I said, tonight is Super Bowl. I personally don't watch football, but I know other people do. So, if you feel like we're done, we'll close it up and maybe meet again.
Yes, it would be a pleasure to meet again. We'd be honored to be able to go into more, specific areas of prophecy or information, or just sharing you know, based upon what interests you, what interests people, you know, who are listening.
Okay, well, we appreciate you. Well, thanks, and we want to thank Mark for helping us out with the Mayan birth readings, and we'll see everybody next Sunday, same time, same station. Bye, everybody. Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Love you all.
Join us to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Friends, this is your co-host, Will Blue Otter. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Blue Otter, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.